I remember my other one. Brother Frank emailed me, and he's doing well in Tennessee. Church is really learning. So he's basically got a whole church becoming Bible believers. That's so much fun. And the men are asking, why don't they preach this at all in Southern Baptist churches, you know, about final authority in the King James issue? There's a reason. So, okay, Joshua 1, we did 1 through 9. So Joshua 1:10, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand these words, and I do pray that you'd help us to be faithful students of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Joshua, one of the 12 spies. If you hold your finger here, go to Numbers 13. There's a proverb that says, the memory of the just is blessed, and the name of the wicked shall rot. Okay, and what names parents choose for their children reveal their conscience. Okay, and so in Numbers 13, if you start in verse 4, Shemua. Anybody know anybody named by that name beside a whale? I think that was Shamu. Shamu. Okay, then Shaphat, probably owner of the diet company. Okay, Caleb. Yes, we know that one. Verse 6, Caleb. Verse 7, Igal. And Hosea, that's another name of spelling Joshua. And then Palti. Anybody know anybody Paltis? Gadidil. How about Gaddy? What a name. That's close to Gabby. 12, Amiel. 13, Sether. Nabis, 14. The idea there is there were two good and 10 bad, and I don't think anybody knows anybody by the name of the 10 bad. But we all know somebody by Joshua and Caleb. Joshua. So, okay, so Joshua 1:10, they're getting ready to cross into the land of Canaan. What the law could not do, Moses and the law could not get them in, could not take them in. Joshua and grace does. So we have typology there. So they had about 600,000 troops, men 20 years old and up, according to Numbers 1. It's about 2 to 3 million people. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you. How'd Granny say that? On a Beverly Hills? Vittles. I've heard some people say victuals. Come on, it's vittles. That's King James only word. All the new Bibles take that out. Okay, so prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in and possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. So there's the promise. Now remember, there were 2.5 tribes that once they got going, they wanted to get their inheritance early, so they wanted to stay on the east side of the Jordan River. And then the other 9.5 said, oh, yeah, they're going to stay on this side, and they don't have to go in and fight with us. And so the rule was, you do have to go in and fight, and then you can go back. And so that's the Reubenites, verse 12, and to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, okay, here's the rule. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land, so you get this land on this side of the Jordan. And then he says, your wives and your little ones and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, and ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them. And I wonder how many of those men, when they got in the land of Canaan, said, wow, we jumped the gun. That's a lot better over here, but too late. You made your choice. No females going on the other side. All men, men of valor. Okay, men of valor. Until the Lord hath given your brethren rest. Okay, this is rest in the land of Canaan. Resting in the Lord. They obviously have to work like crazy, but they got to rest in the Lord. So going into the land of Canaan, we'll find in Hebrews, it mentions rest over and over. And so the same idea there is Joshua bringing them into the land of Canaan. In Hebrews, it's the high priest Jesus bringing Israel into the land of the millennium. Okay, and so before the day of provocation, remember that the people did not want to go in, so all the people 20 and up died in the next 40 years. They provoked God, and so that's the same thing in Hebrews, that they don't have eternal security in Hebrews. They didn't have it in the Old Testament. They don't have it in Hebrews, but thank God we do. Okay, and so we have those things. So he talks about the rest as he hath given you, and they also have possessed the land. They have possessed the land which the Lord God giveth them. Then ye shall return in the land of your possession and enjoy it. Enjoy it. That's what Solomon says, a gift of God, to enjoy the fruits of your labor, which Moses, the Lord's servant, give you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. So obviously the east. So they're going in there, going after these giants, big dudes. A lot of giants going after them. And Caleb's the guy that said, I want this mountain. Okay, and so these giants lived in this area. That's why the walls were so tall, is because they had giants around. And each of these little burbs had a king and all this stuff. And so they're fighting these giants. And I mean, Joshua watched the Lord do all the 10 plagues. He watched him go across the Sinai Peninsula. He watched him open up Red Sea. He saw the manna. He saw the water come from the rock. He saw the rock on fire, the mountain on fire. He heard God speak from heaven. So what about a giant? It didn't matter to them. And so that's what they were going to go after, these very tall creatures. How big? I don't know. I think Goliath was a small giant. You know, like a jumbo shrimp? An oxymoron. If you listen to Mud Fossil University, this guy believes that these giants were 200, 300 feet tall. I have not a clue how big they were. He feels that the Devil's Tower, is that in Idaho or Wyoming? The Devil's Tower? It looks like, okay, if you stand back from it, it looks like somebody had a large tree and they took a chainsaw and cut off the top of it, because the strands coming down are in a hexagonal shape. Looks like a tree, but that guy, the mud fossil guy, thinks that that was a person's leg. Again, I have no idea. Okay, this guy does a lot of these studies, and he was just reading one where there was a lady in the 1800s. Okay, they had this rock. They broke the rock open. Some liquid was in the rock, and the liquid was silica. And she poured it into a glass and jokingly said, bottoms up, and drank the thing, and she turned into salt in less than an hour. That silica just turned her into salt. And that was a story back in the 1800s. You know, maybe that's what happened to Mrs. Lot. But there's a lot of strange things that evidence is all around. It's just you try to figure out what it is. But so these were definitely giants that they had. So verse 16, he said, and they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee as he was with Moses." So he gave the agreement. They agreed to the agreement. And then whosoever he that doth rebel against the commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest them, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. So that's, you know, why in military, if someone doesn't obey an order, they pow and so forth. Now, this is an army. Remember, this nation is fighting in the kingdom of heaven, Old Testament kingdom of heaven, New Testament kingdom of God. That's overly simplistic. The kingdom of heaven today is under the delegate, has been delegated to Lucifer. So God took the delegation from Israel of the kingdom of heaven from Jeconiah in Jeremiah 22. He was so upset with Jeconiah, he said, "I'm taking my name off your name. I'm going to call you Coniah." And so he took it from them, and then this were the times that the Gentiles come in play, and what followed that? Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome. And so this is when Satan offered to Jesus, "If you bow and worship me, I'll give you these world kingdoms." Why? Because God had delegated to him the God of this world. And they're still under his, you know, choices. And the exception proves the rule as far as governing authorities. Okay, America is a very unusual experiment, shall we say, in world politics. Very unusual, where the people wanted to retain the authority over the public officials. And that worked for about 100 years, and then it started, you know. So that's a true amazing thing. Now in chapter 2, the Bible has unusual stories. The plot is unusual. And so Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly. So they're crossing the Jordan. They're going into Jericho. They're going to spy it out. And he said, "Go view the land, even Jericho." And they went and came into a harlot's house. Ain't that weird? Came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. Okay, and why would you pick that house? You know, how'd that happen? All the circumstances, all of a sudden, boom, here we are here. And then what do the politicians know? So Rahab was some political, they knew her politically. And then I was told the king of Jericho, saying, "Behold, there came men thither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho said unto Rahab," knew her. What's that tell us about politics? You know, Jeffrey Epstein. You know, the beer companies send all the booze to the politicians in December. All the senators and congressmen have their Christmas parties, get, you know, tipsy, and then get themselves in a bad situation where people do stuff when they're drunk they don't normally do. Pictures are taken. Secret videos are taken. If you don't vote the way I want, well, look what we're going to release. That's how politics works. Okay, and so there's Rahab. Okay, and the king knew about it. Now, history says that Rahab must have had a very uppity house, I guess you could say, because her house was in the wall of Jericho. And the archaeology of this is that the walls fell down flat except for a small location that would have been where Rahab lived. So, you know, when somebody goes down a road like this, we don't know their heart. We don't know their heart at all. And we might be surprised with some people. You know, this was one thing I pointed out in the conversation. You know, I said, you know, scandals in the Baptist world, there's scandals in politics, there's scandals in Catholics, there's scandals in Methodists, there's scandals everywhere. And it's like these people are shocked. Well, haven't they read the Bible? I mean, I don't think we would have hired Hopni and Phineas to be our youth directors. But God had Hannah put Samuel under the tutelage of, you know, of Eli, and his two sons were sexual predators. Samuel came through that. And then the Lord Jesus, what did they say about him coming out of Nazareth? They said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? So that must have had quite a reputation. Pretty raunchy. You see, where people can turn out good in a good environment, and people can turn out bad in a good environment. Cain and Abel had the same parents. And so it's all a matter of our heart. You know, when Jan and I went through Hiles Anderson, we were just naive. We were just oblivious to it. We were there to try to get what we thought we should get to serve the Lord better. We didn't go looking around at other stuff. Now, we looked back at it and said, whoa. But thank God for his protection. And so we see this all through the Bible. And it's sad to me that the people that are victims of these scandals keep that like a trophy. And then they're going to do what they want to do. They use that as an excuse. It should be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. And I'm not making light of any of the offenses, because some of them are very, very grave offenses. So here we have Rahab the harlot. Who would have guessed? Who would have guessed somebody like that would be instrumental in helping Israel conquer the city? Now, why did they send the spies in? I don't really think they needed to. But Joshua was a military man. That's protocol. Send the spies in. Let's check it out. And I'm sure Rahab was happy they did. And so it says, bring forth the men that are come to thee, to Rahab, which are entered into thine house, for they become. Who talks like that? We be all dead men, it says the Egyptians said. We be. For they be come to search all the country. You'd think that guy to take some speech class or something. Okay, and it says, and a woman took the two men and hid them. Oh, is that civil disobedience? Did she not obey the king? Did she not obey a law? Public policy. Got to rat these guys out. She took the two men and hid them and said thus, there came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. So she lied. She lied to him. So what was her choice? If she told the truth, two men would have been murdered by the king. If she told a lie, God was going to kill about 500,000 perverts that night. Or that in the next week. So I think she made the right choice. So in times of war, okay, and this is times of war, okay, many generals and people who study war will study a fellow named Sun Tzu, a Chinese general. And he said that war is the art of deception. So this is a time where God blessed a woman for lying. And so a lot of times Americans tell on themselves. And officers will ask questions and people will tell on themselves. You don't have to answer those questions. And, you know, every time that I get stopped, which is a few, they ask, do you know why I stopped you? I want to say, well, I can't read your mind. I do say, not a clue. Because I don't. Okay, why? Because they know that if you answer the question, you've told on yourself. And we have the fifth article in the Bill of Rights. So, but even at that, you know how that goes. So then it says, then came the man unto me, and I wist not where, or wist not whence they were. It came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for he shall overtake them. They went this way. Pursue after them quickly. And they went this way. And so Rahab conceals the spies. God blesses for her for this. She lies to a governing authority. Okay, and so, the Lord blesses her for what she does. So then verse 6, but she had brought them up to the roof of the house. So this is the top of the wall. Okay, and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they were, which pursued after them, were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof, and she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Wow, she's a believer. I know that the Lord, uppercase letters, hath given you the land. Wow. And that your terror is fallen upon us. Okay, that terror is God's capability. This is what God does. Like in the next chapter, God is going to take this spiritual magnifying glass and put it around Joshua, and the Israeli people will look at Joshua differently than they've seen him before. Okay, because before he just saw Joshua as a servant unto Moses, and then, I've never seen Joshua like that before. That's because God put a magnifying glass around him, magnified him in their eyes. And so God is going to put a terror on the people in Jericho about the Jews. Spirits come in. God will send these spirits in, and they will terrorize these people. They have a hard time sleeping at night. They will have dreams at night. They're so scared to death. When Israel's walking around that city, they can't even see straight. And this is the Lord's doing. Okay, the Lord has these capabilities, obviously. And that your terrors fall upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. They've been hearing. Here comes these 3 million people up this king's highway. Okay, and for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. They heard about that. And when you came out of Egypt, they heard about the 10 plagues. And what ye did unto the 2 kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. They heard about that. Was that the guy that had that bed that was huge? Deuteronomy 2, I think it is. I don't know if it's Og that had that king-sized bed. Deuteronomy 2 or 3. 3. Deuteronomy 3. Yeah, Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. They had heard that they beat this Og. What a name. If only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. And then, let's see, 9 cubits was the length thereof. 13 and a half feet. Okay, was the length thereof, and 4 cubits of bread. That M.A., king-size bed. And the dude's feet probably hang over the edge, all 6 toes on each foot. So, yeah, they heard about that. They heard about that. So then Rahab, and then verse 11, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. That's exactly right. They've already lost the battle. Morale has been destroyed. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven alone and in earth beneath. Boy, that's a good testimony. What a testimony. 12. Now therefore I pray you. Okay, I pray you, I ask you, please, request, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. So we got a deal. They're going to make a deal here, a contract, verbal contract. So she's presenting the offer. And that ye will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have and deliver our lives from death. Man, they packed them in that night. Kind of sounds like Cornelius, doesn't it? When Cornelius got everybody to come over to his house and, hey, there's this Jewish guy who's going to come talk to us. And Pete wins the whole house to the Lord, and Rahab gets them all there. And they're, can you imagine them sneaking over there at night, you know, because, you know, it's dark, you know, and you don't let the king see you. You got to come in the back way, you know, all this stuff. They got these secret passages. You got to get over there. And so then the men answered her, our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may go your way. And the men said unto her, we will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren, all the father's house, home unto thee. So there is the origination of a red light district. Rahab the harlot. So even that profession obeys the Bible. You know, and so, yeah, there it is. Get it right from the Bible. The scarlet sin. 19, it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood be upon his head. Okay, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be upon our head, if any hand be upon him. Can you imagine them inside and where they hear the walls crashing down? Don't look out. Don't go out there. Don't look out there. Yeah, that's something. Verse 20, and if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath, which thou hast made us to swear. Okay, quit as in acquittal. Okay, that's a King James only word. Okay, sometimes use a quit claim deed. So these terms come from the Bible. 21, and he said, and she said, according to all your words, so be it. So this is a verbal contract. In our country, a verbal contract is good for about a year. Anything over a year, you want to write it down. So be it. And she sent them away, and they departed, and she bound the scarlet line in the window. Didn't waste any time, did she? And they went and came under the mountain and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but they found them not. So the two men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua, the son of Nun, and told him all the things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly, the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. So they got the testimony. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. So the morale is shot. We got it. Okay. Did they need to do that? I don't know, but that's what it is. And I'm sure Rahab is very glad they did it. And so what happened to Rahab after this? Possibly lived her life out as a Jewish, religious Jew. You know, but even till this day, when people say Rahab, anybody read the Bible, automatically put Rahab the harlot. But She may have turned out to be an amazing lady of Judaism. We don't know. Now, the word name Rahab is used in a derogatory sense, in a bad sense, in Revelation. But that's not referring to her. It's just using that name. So now chapter 3, this is where the Lord takes out his magnifying glass. And he's going to magnify Joshua. You see that in verse 7. He's going to magnify him. And so how does the Lord magnify words or people of the Jewish mindset? Is he has signs and miracles. Okay, remember that when Moses, God said, Moses, I want you to lead these people out of Israel. He said, I'm going to convince these people. He said, well, you got that rod in your hand, throw it down, turn it into a snake, pick it up, turn back to the rod. He said, stick your hand in there like Napoleon, like some Freemason, and then pull it back out, you know, disease, put it back in, back out, healed, and then water to blood. So that's how Israel began as a nation, is by the signs and wonders. And so as you read through the history of Israel, the Lord will verify these things by signs and wonders. Okay, remember when Hezekiah was said, you get 15 more years, what do you say? Yeah, I want a sign. So what do you want? Sun forward or backward? He said, ah, forward, that's easy to God. How about backward? So is that literal? Or did the earth stop spinning? Would have killed everybody. That would have killed everybody on the planet. So he just moved his son back. The Lord had 40 minutes he needed to fulfill, because in chapter 10, it says that the sun stood still about a whole day. So there was still 40 minutes waiting, and that 10 degrees back made that 40 minutes, made that 24 hours. So that's how Jewish people are. They want signs and wonders. Now, remember when the Pharisees asked Jesus for a sign? He had already given them so many as pitiful. I mean, he'd healed this one, he raised this one, he did this one, he did that one. Oh, we want a sign. And then he said, an evil and wicked generation seeketh after a sign. So there's a limit on that. And the Lord said, okay, enough's enough. I've given you enough signs. So chapter 3, now they're getting ready to go. Okay, Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, okay, so that's that golden box, gold-covered box. Inside that box is a bowl of manna, the rod that budded for Aaron, and the Ten Commandments, all inside there. So then they put this on their shoulders, so they have, and so the priests are carrying this. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, sadly, became a worshipped symbol, okay, when he got into 1 Samuel. So the Ark of the Covenant was just a medium to tell them about the God. They needed to keep their focus on the God of the Ark of the Covenant, not that piece of furniture. So that piece of furniture is a representative of God. And so a person could make an idol out of anything. So there's the Ark of the Covenant. And the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. And you would tend to think, wow, what a way to go in a battle. You're carrying this thing. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore. Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. The best thing to do in a physical battle and in a spiritual battle is to sanctify yourself. Get alone with the Lord. Get cleaned up. Put on the whole armor of God. Sanctify yourselves. Okay, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among them. There was a general, I think, and I'm not a general, I forget, a colonel in World War I, I think it was, Whittingly, I think. And all the men under him, he had a memorized Psalm 91, Psalm of Protection, Psalm 91. And history says that he didn't lose a man in battle. It's been reported in a Civil War and in a World War I and World War II. In each of the wars, somebody had a New Testament in their pocket and a bullet hit the New Testament and saved their lives. Okay, in Civil War, first one and two. One of them took an interest where the brown stain ended, and it ended at Psalm 91. So it must have been one of those Gideon ones where they had the New Testament and then Psalm 91 at the back of it. But Psalm 91 is often used, the Psalm of Protection. That's the psalm that Satan misquoted to tempt Jesus, Psalm 91. So there's something very significant about that psalm, Psalm 91. So that general, Whittingly, I think was his name, his soldiers, in essence, were sanctifying themselves by memorizing that psalm and then saying it when they went to battle. So sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord would do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant, went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So we have the Lord is transitioning leadership, Moses to Joshua, and the people will now see Joshua in a different light. So then he says, and thou shalt command the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan. Now, this is not the Jordan River up north. This is the Jordan River close to the Dead Sea, so the water's moving pretty good. And so the priests have this ark, and then when their feet touch the water, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. Joshua said, hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive up from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. So seven cousins there. These are all the lineage of Ham. Okay, Egypt, Africa is the land of Ham. And the devil had these trespassers in there. And the Lord allowed the trespassers because they were building up the cities. They were building up the land. And so when Israel came in, Jericho was one. They just destroyed everything. But the rest, they didn't destroy the buildings. They just came and repurposed the buildings. Now, if Wikipedia is right, there's a... what's the south city in South Saudi Arabia, way down south. I'm drawing a blank on it. Some capital way down there. That supposedly that was built by Shem. Okay, and if you look at the buildings, they were just fascinating. These people had amazing technology. And so these buildings where they came in, and America had a lot of this antiquity. They had these buildings. Fascinating buildings. And they're trying to tell us that, you know, people riding in horses and drawing covered wagons built these things without power tools and equipment. No, somebody amazingly built these things. And the testimony is all around us. And so when Israel came in through the land of Canaan, they're just repurposing these buildings. And the reason why the Lord didn't dump them all at once is because he wanted somebody to keep taking care of them until they got there. So that's something. So in verse 11, behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passes over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe of man. It shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall cut off from the waters that come down from above, and ye shall stand upon a heap. Can you imagine seeing that? Scientifically, how'd that happen? Red Sea appears to be cold, but congealed. But how'd this happen? I don't know. So I just want to finish the chapter. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon an heap very far from the city Adam that is beside Zaratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over the right against Jericho. Has anybody ever been to Niagara Falls in wintertime? Jan and I did once with Ash and them. It's amazing to see all that frozen stuff. And that kind of sounds like that. Could that have been like that, where the water keeps coming, it keeps building and building and building, building ice? I don't know, however it was. And then it says, and a priest that bare the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. How did it get dry so fast? And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground, not muddy ground, not muck, dry ground, until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Clean over, they came out clean. So what a great miracle. And so that's chapter, we covered a lot of bases there, 2 and 3. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for your words, and I do pray you'd help us to understand them better, draw closer to these result of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Prayer requests.